list, names, and let you know who's on this committee. Eric Blackledge, Blackledge Furniture. Incidentally, these are selected by the president, Senate President Speaker. I gave him some recommendations. I mean, you may have given recommendations, others, that's where they came from. Jim Johnson, business and civic entrepreneur. Roger Christensen, CEO of Klinger River Bank. Senator Janet Hamby, business owner, former senator, you know her. Jim Johnson, business and civic entrepreneur. Gene Maynard, vice president of Maynard Engineering. Harvey Mountain, DOI. Brian Metley, superintendent of Glendale School District. Philip Palomero, he's the dean of the College of Business at the University of Oregon. Jim Scherzinger, superintendent of the Portland Schools. Al Switzer, Klamath County Commissioner, and Jerry Wilson, Superintendent Hermiston School District. There are really some darn good folks in here that have a lot of knowledge and a lot of understanding. And I expect we're going to go through it. We're going to look at it. You go ahead and do your thing. I don't think we need to be, hamstrung by any particular tight rules. We've got a short period of time to do a very serious problem, and we got to get at it. So that's our plan. We can, you're going to finish after we will, so it's kind of hard for us to advise you what you ought to come up with, but we just give you what you have. This is what we think, and that's a bone you can chew on. I would tell you this, that my entire 20 years in the legislature, something unusual occurred, and that was that I was on a tax committee for 20 years. I've seen everybody's tax plan, including my own. Everybody's idea of what ought to happen. The one that's most popular is the tax that somebody else pays. And I would, that's what you folks did this last time with the cigarette tax. You picked out a small number of electorate and said, we're going to pile on the tax on that. Pardon me for criticizing so severely, but I hate to see that happen. Those kinds of things really ought to, pay attention to. As I say, we'll make our advice. You may not like our advice, but we're going to give it to you. And we'll do it in good time. We're asking these folks to travel quite a bit because of meeting here in Salem. Some of them coming quite a distance.
Well, Governor, if I could say, sometimes the advice you like least to hear is the advice you most need to get. So I would say I wouldn't consider your group to be hamstrung or limited in any respect by what it looks at or by the list of recommendations you may ultimately refer back to this committee. We'll have to deal with those, but I think this committee will be well served by the broadest examination of the widest range of issues that you can dream and evaluate and bring back to us. I'd encourage you to be bold and to ask hard questions and to give hard advice.
I did mention earlier this morning, as a governor, Dave Frommer was Attorney General, and I got some opinions from him I didn't want. So. You deal with that.
Yeah. Senator?
Yeah, I'm reflecting just now on your statement, Representative Shetterly, about how the governor and his advisory group will add a certain sheen. I think that's a certain reference to, shall I call it, the lack of luster. With regard to the performance of five special sessions. And as I experienced that firsthand on doorsteps, talking to citizens out there in the last couple months, the closer we can get to hearing those average people on doorsteps, in town, hall meetings, wherever, the better off we're going to be. This advisory committee helps us get there. We've got to get there as well. And so if anything, I hope the advisory committee does its best to get as close as possible to, you know, average Oregonians. And I know that we've probably got 3 million plus different ideas on how to solve the problem out there, and how to get them all on paper and thrash through them is a good question. But I just admonish both the advisory committee and ourselves to just get as close as we can to citizens.
Senator Plano.
Yes, there's one point you made earlier that I think is very important for us, and that is to not duplicate efforts. That's hard on staff and, right. And trees in producing the paperwork, so I hope we'll be very cognizant of not duplicating efforts.
I will try to coordinate carefully with Paul the work that the advisory committee is doing and the work that we're doing so that it's working complementary but not at cross purposes or duplicating effort. Other comment, Paul?
Mr. Chairman, I think one of the things that the committee needs to think through is how you will use these meetings in the congressional districts. Will you use those primarily as input, or will you use those as discussion and background? So that, I think, is a decision you need to work through, and how those meetings, what role they will play.
I think there's one other purpose that may be served by those two, depending on how we set the agendas, and that would be public education. We may need to sit through a review of Oregon's tax system. This task force may need to sit through that review 4 or 5 times so that the attendees in the districts hear that as well. And we try to create a broader base of common understanding of the very issues we're dealing with, where we are, how we got here, and what the elements of our revenue system are, the accountability issues that Senator George has raised. So I think public education will be a very important function of those meetings out in the state as well, so that we make sure that we are trying to spread that common understanding, a common base of knowledge. That will help, I think, in terms of getting forward. Senator?
I hope that we make ourselves have a fairly interactive relationship with the advisory committee. We all come here with thoughts and ideas on different possibilities, everything, you know, cut, restructure, add, and everything in between. And as we discuss those, I think it would be very helpful for us to hear from a group that I expect will be closer to the ground than we are, and to get feedback while we're discussing those, rather than come to the end and get a recommendation from them that looks completely different from where we were headed. So I hope that we talk regularly, and both officially in meetings like this and unofficially, individually, and such as we go along, because I think they're going to be a very important part of it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
It would appear, Governor, that we do have a parallel operation here, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to refer back to what I think is some of the best advice ever given, and that's an Old Testament scripture that says a wise king is known by a multitude of counselors. And so we look forward to all this input, because I think that is going to be the key to this. This is not an easy problem we're facing here. In fact, I pleaded, please don't put me on that committee. Because it is going to be a difficult issue, but I think we're going to need the maximum amount of input, because there may be, depending on the recommendations, the necessity to go out and defend those recommendations, and to have, be able to have a wealth of background, I think, will be very valuable.
There's a lot at stake, I might add, Senator and members of the committee. I said at the time when ballot 5 was circulating before the voters, but now I'm out of office. And I said, if you really want to know what ballot 5 is going to do for education out there in the future, look at California. And I said, we used to read the newspaper about quality of education and innovative things that were occurring, the brilliance of students and so forth, always mentioning California. Once Prop 13 passed, you never heard from California again. And that was what occurred here in Oregon. Ballot 5 passed, and you know and I know that the quality of education, no matter how much they say, is pretty neat. The quality of our education in Oregon has gone downhill. And so you can understand there's a serious problem here. We're talking about a problem not just in funding. We're talking about the problem of quality of our education, of the, our future leaders, all of that. That's part of it. And higher ed was the most at risk, and you know that, because the big lobby is primary and secondary education. We've got to do this for kids. And you've got the big, strong lobby of OEA. And so higher ed had to be at risk. And we haven't done a good job for them either. Well, that may come when we finally recommend, but I'm trying to position you to understand. I told, and I won't mention who, former governors, my successors, you've got to tell Oregonians what the problem is. They don't think there's a problem out there. They got their property tax cut, and they're perfectly happy with that. You can't go say, now that you've cut your property tax, now would you mind adding this tax? Oh, wait a minute, I just cut my taxes. But Oregonians are not dumb people. And if you legitimately show them that there is a problem, they will respond, and they will respond with responsibility. And I believe that strongly. But nobody's really demonstrated that. Here's your opportunity to do it, and then it's our opportunity to help you do it. Now, with the size of your committee and my committee, we really are spreading out the load, so for responsibility. We'll do what we can, but you need a lot of work to do, and you don't need to hear me one more time when we make a recommendation.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to go back to something you said, Mr. Chair, and that the governor just said. And the first one is that I do hope that we use both the task force meetings and the advisory council meetings as an opportunity to educate more than just the 8 of us and the 13 of them, that we use it as an opportunity to listen to what Oregonians want and to help them understand the issues that are at stake, and to educate ourselves about some of the decisions that have been made in the intervening years since Measure 5 was passed that have added to the problem that we face. And I hope we use our staff and our presence in the 5 different congressional districts to reach beyond just those who show up at our hearings, but to convey information locally about what we're doing and what is at stake, so that we have an opportunity for people to hear and understand more of the big picture. I don't think we need to educate them about the arcane details of our tax law, but about the big issue. And the piece I'd like to follow up, Mr. Governor, about what you just said relating to taxes that someone else pays. It is enormously difficult, and yet comes with a tremendous amount of credibility when someone is committed enough to recommend a tax that he or she himself will pay more because they think the services are worth it. And I hope with your leadership, that's exactly the kind of advice, or some of the advice that we'll get from your advisory council, that some of the reforms you propose to us are ones that members of your task force will end up paying because they think it's worth it.
That's almost a given. I think you've cleaned the table of those kind of taxes that somebody else pays. You and I did it in 82. And so we're down to the tax that the folks out there, if that's what you want to do. We're making a predetermination.
Yeah.
But they can't avoid it anymore. That is, if they want what they say they want. I've really yearned for the opportunity to be at a meeting where people are pounding and saying, we need money for kids, a lot of people. And then I'd say, okay, now how many of you voted for ballot 5? How many hands would go up? I don't know. It's like almost finding a Nazi after World War II. There weren't any. You know, once the Americans came in, and we couldn't find a Nazi anywhere. They're not going to admit to it. They're part of the problem, so they got to be part of the solution. Now I'll go back here and you...
Okay, well, I appreciate, again, so much your willingness to serve in this capacity, and looking forward to working with you over the next couple of months. Thank you very much, Governor Attia. Does that... do we feel like we have a pretty good understanding of where we're going, at least as far as the process goes, not in terms of the outcome? Representative Butler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm reminded of the adage, it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Much of the discussion has surrounded the issue of certainly the accountability. I appreciate that. And the revenue options, I appreciate that, but to the extent that those discussions here this morning have gravitated all towards, or in large part towards enhanced revenues, I would like to just mention for the benefit of the committee that perhaps what we're looking for also is a way to grow Oregon so that whatever revenue base we have will be enhanced as Oregon grows, and we'll be able to grow our way out of some of the problems, as opposed to anticipating that we're going to tax our way out of the problems, or to enhance revenues or increase revenues, and thus be able to develop our way out of some of the issues. So, in deference to some of the discussion which has been had this morning, I would like to say that we really ought to explore ways that examine more than just the issues that face us during the crisis, but how during the next crisis and how we move through the crisis will leave Oregon intact. For I understand in the principles of economics that the decisions which we make today will largely determine, and in the next legislative session will largely determine our ability to remove ourselves and basically place ourselves on a greater plane. And be in a place where Oregon can be seen as a state in which to come and bring new business and bring new jobs. I'm particularly concerned about the high level of unemployment we've got, and those kinds of issues which would not attract new employment to Oregon. We've got to be sensitive to that. And I recognize that all of the members of the committee and Governor Attia in his presentation understand and recognize the sensitivity that we have to these issues, but I would like to just introduce the concept that we may be able to grow our way out with some modifications to the existing system. We may be able to grow our way out of some of the problems, and then anticipate that in the future that Oregon will be able to sustain itself through good times and bad by examining the system and making that modification now, which would bridge us through the abyss of different difficult and hard times in the future and different times. Thank you, Mr.
No, I appreciate those comments. I think it goes back somewhat in trying to weave all these elements together, because they are all important and have to be addressed. Back to Senator George's comments on accountability, I think one of the things we have an obligation to do first is to assure ourselves and the people of the state of Oregon that we are maximizing the dollars that are already in the system. And then to the extent, if, and again, not predetermining anything, but to the extent that the advisory council recommends to this group and we act on anything that would entail any new revenue, and again, I don't mean to predetermine that, but to the extent that is an option that may be before us, clearly we're going to have to be cognizant of the impact of any kind of recommendation there on the, just what you talked about, the long-term economic health of the state. And my comments on that are only to recognize that these things are all interrelated. They're all interdependent. We can come up with a great tax system, but if it kills an economy, then there's not going to be anyone to pay it. Or, by the same token, we can also recommend the lowest tax system, the least cost for taxpayers. And if that system can't support schools and basic public services, we've also killed the economy of the state. So they are interwoven every bit. Representative
Hanson. Thank you. I just wanted to say, for all the much well-deserved bad publicity these special sessions received, there was one positive note that I think will help us stabilize funding for education, and that is that the legislature and then voters did create a rainy day fund that I think, had it been in effect, say, 10 years ago, would have made things a lot easier, and I think that does stabilize the schools. spending structure down the road when you look at these things 10 or 20 years in the future, which is how I hope we will approach some of these issues, not what it will do next year, but 20 or 30 years and down the road. And I just wanted to say, I'm despite all the gloom, I'm optimistic, especially with having this task force, and Vicente is one of the most respected men in the state, and I'm ready to get to it.
Senator Clark?
I just want to follow up on the comments that Representative Butler made, I think, and some other comments have been here this morning about what mandates have we put in place. And also, I think Governor Attia mentioned it, what kind of expenditures have we added to schools in the legislative process since the implementation of Ballot Measure 5. But I think we also have to recognize there's one specific reason that's a big reason why we don't have enough money to fund schools is because we are not able to cut timber. And with what we've done to timber and agriculture in this state, it's dramatically affected our economy. And I often think if we knew the total litigation dollars for timber appeals that are made under one of the best sustainable forest practices acts in the United States, what would that dollar amount be? It would be incredible. And so I think maybe that's something that we need to look at as well. Is there another way that we can look at how we can better get some funds into our schools with some of the timber economy we used to enjoy and that we should have now?
Well, to the extent, I think that's a fair comment, to the extent that timber is a source of revenue to the state and specifically our schools, I think it's certainly worth looking at. We know there are market issues and international trade issues that bear on that as well, but that doesn't mean that we have to just assume that there's nothing we can do to perhaps maximize some other resource. Anything else? The last thing I would say for our, us that occurs to me is I think it's important that our task force and the advisory committee keep in mind that we're not a special session committee. Getting back on the doom and gloom as we approach the immediate budget shortfall of the 2003-05 biennium, I think it's going to be important that we take a longer-term view. Those problems will have to be dealt with in the short term, but I think it is important that we look at more of the five-year and 10-year kind of, and even longer, perhaps, picture, so that we don't become focused just on how to close some sort of funding gap that will go away on June 30 of 2003, because it's the end of the biennium. I think it's a good point, and maybe a way to help encourage us, because if we spend too much time spending our effort on the immediate shortfall, it does become pretty dark and gloomy and depressing. But maybe if we look beyond that to what can we envision and what can we put in place to go forward from, you know, through after the inevitable recovery, what can we do to maintain that recovery and to minimize downturns in the future? Those are the kinds of things that maybe we can stay focused on and not get ourselves mired in the immediate short term. We'll let some other committee in January start to work on those issues. All right, I want to thank the committee for a good discussion. Governor, does that help you get a sense of where we are, at least to get started? I'll work with Paul. Senator, do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and maybe I should ask that, do we need to adopt this work plan? I assume it would be helpful if we did.
That would be helpful, yeah. Or to tell me any modifications you want to make. Next meeting.
I'm happy with it, so I'll get it off the gun by moving that we adopt the draft work plan, and if anybody wants to amend it.
Okay, I think that's fair. We should have something on the table in front of us at the end of this meeting. Let's do maybe consider this a provisional work plan for our next meeting. I think we've made some comments that probably are fit within the elements of the work plan already, but if there are members who feel like there are specific issues that need to be lifted out and placed on the work plan, let's work with staff between now and then, from what I've heard, I think those would all be received as favorable amendments to this work plan. But rather than wordsmith this morning, maybe we can just go forward with this as a provisional work plan and then address it again if we need in the next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul, could you do something for me, too? I was reading the Oregon tax system summary that you had here. It's interesting to look at some of the assumptions and some of the conclusions. One of the ones that has always intrigued me is why we may appear to be relatively low in taxes, but when you look at the, according to the census that was done, on the average expenditure per person, we're higher than 45 other states. Can you kind of bring that into perspective for us? Okay, thanks.
If I may, the next item on the agenda is a review of the revenue system.
Oh.
If we can defer those comments, the answer to that question may be until we're let me bang the gavel on this motion, and then we can take up all those things.
Sorry about that.
Lots of interesting questions in that. Is there any discussion then on these draft rules that we will regard as the provisional draft, provisional work plan, for the task force? Any objection? None? And then if you have specific recommendations for amendment to this work plan, feel free to contact Paul directly, members, and we'll take that up at the next meeting. One last thing before we get to the overview, and that is recognizing House Bill 4063, Section 2, Sub 4, Sub 3, Sub 2 says that four members of this task force appointed by the chair will serve as ex officio members of the advisory council, two members from the minority party and two members from the majority party. I won't do that now, again, since we are winging it this morning, but if there are members who have a particular interest in serving as ex officio members to the advisory committee and who feel like they just aren't going to get enough with this task force meetings, but also need the advisory committee meetings, feel free to contact me, and I'll make the appointments between now and the next meeting.
Okay. And we do have the advisory council's schedule.
And that first meeting is Monday. So get to me before Monday. All right. With that, then, Paul, I'll turn it over to you.
Mr. Chair, we have mailed out, and we've also provided to you a number of things that those of you who have been looking at this issue for a while are probably familiar with. But I just wanted to mention those things, and then I do have a PowerPoint presentation that would go through and I think address some of the issues that Senator George has raised. The first thing that we have is a research report on the 1985 sales tax plan. Of course, this was a plan that did occur during Governor Attia's administration. And that outlines the elements of that proposal. Remember, this was prior to Measure 5. So it had a strong element of property tax relief in it, as well as some reduction in the income tax. And the major element, however, was a sales tax initiated. This is 1985 sales tax plan. So,
what do you want? What document?
It's Legislative Revenue Office 1985 sales tax plan. I'm just suggesting so that for your benefit the major point here is to give you the background on what the major efforts have been over the last 20 years, and this was certainly one of the major efforts that occurred. It is a complex plan. There's a whole series of elements involved in it, including a rainy day fund. It is worth, I think, looking back as a starting point as to where the 1985 legislature got to. Of course, that proposal was voted down in 1986. The impact of Measure 1 is the second big document there. And again, that's a Legislative Revenue Office research report. Measure 1 was the sales tax for schools that was approved by the 1993 legislature. And again, that's a proposal that is, if you look at the summary on pages 2 and